Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
And welcome back to Tip Today. A listener says, I love listening to Jo, but she does have to let the department know as soon as she decides to change address. That has always been the way. Backlog in the department is very common through no fault of the staff. I can assure you it's one of the busiest departments. I'm sure it is, and you have my sympathy on that. I suppose letting people know about these things would be important before they end up moving. Possibly. 083-311-3311.
Legal discussion on Tip Today is brought to you in association with Lynch Solicitors Clonmel. On the web at lynchsolicitors.ie and at divorceinireland.com.
John Lynch from Lynch Solicitors is with me in studio. Good morning to you, John.
Morning, Fran. How are you?
Good to see you. New developments in law, John. Yeah, what's happening out there?
I'm smiling every time I listen to that jingle. I think I must update it. I'm on the web.
And you've been listening to it for years.
For years, yeah. I'm on the web.
Press button A.
No. A, B and C. A couple of things crossed my desk, which I thought might be worthwhile sharing. Some of them more interesting than others, and some of them more closer to the heart than others. One of them is the commercial rates. Rates on your business property, they've changed the rules on it. And in 2023, under the, I'm going to have a look here now, the Historic and Archaeological Heritage and Miscellaneous Provisions Act 2023, which you might wonder what the hell that's got to do with rates.
Yeah.
But in the middle of it, they changed the way rates are dealt with in Ireland. Now, rates are kind of a bane to an awful lot of people for all sorts of reasons, which we won't go into. Mm. But what they've now done is they've introduced a criminal sanction under this new legislation for people who fail to notify them of the change in the relevant person or the rateable person or the person liable to the rates. So in other words, if under the Act, if there's a criminal liability for the failure to notify a local authority of ceasing to be or becoming the person liable to pay the rates on a relevant property, and for a failure to by a liable person who intends to sell a property to discharge an outstanding rate due by that person prior to the sale of the property. Now, it's funny because one of the other things that crossed our bows recently in terms of suggested areas for further investigation is conveyancing in Ireland. And one of my pet gripes about conveyancing in Ireland is that every time you think it's getting a bit easier, something new is added
and
to the mix.
And conveyancing is?
Conveyancing is the transaction, you know, transacting property.
Yes.
Selling property, buying property in Ireland. And the LSRA, which is the nominated body to oversee the legal profession, was mandated to do an investigation into that whole area of conveyancing within the legal system. I mean, they're responsible for all areas, obviously. But they were mandated to do that and came up with a very, which I haven't actually read yet, and I'll be curious to read it. The report, in general terms, didn't kind of give you any definitive conclusions to it. Interestingly enough, came in with a very high rating of the overall satisfaction of consumers in dealing in conveyancing.
I'm surprised.
So am I, because one of the other things that it said was that there was something like, it's on another bit of paper here in front of me, so I won't start looking at it, but it came in with something like a 4.5 month kind of transaction, average transaction length for a conveyancing transaction. And you're thinking to yourself, you know, 6 to 8 weeks is bad enough, but shoving it out to 4 months is a long time for a conveyancing transaction. And I know that I certainly on the ground consider that there's a lot of frustration among professionals as to how long it takes. And many a conversation I have with different professionals about this as to, you know, what can we do? But every time, I mean, this criminal sanction now for failing to notify that you're selling a property where there's outstanding rates certainly isn't going to help it.
All right, so that's really what I was going to ask you sum up what, because it was all legalese to me there. Yeah. So that's what it's about, is it? That you're selling a property that rates might be owed.
Correct. Okay. And there's an obligation now as well that if, and I'm sure it's a bone of contention with local authorities that they're never able to know who the person is who's responsible for the rates. But bottom line on this as well is that if you're going to have a change in the person, because you see the rates can be paid by the occupier and or by the owner. So obviously if you're leasing out a property, the responsibility is with the tenant to pay the rates. And if you're the owner of the property and it's unoccupied, the responsibility is on the person who owns the property.
But of course nowadays businesses are coming and going so quickly.
Correct. Exactly. And you know, it's problematic. I mean, the responsibility and the obligation under the Act now by the person who's in occupation to notify the local authority is a welcome plus, insofar as at least it takes some pressure off the owner that the responsibility rests with the person who's in occupation at the start of the year.
And your difficulties with conveyancing, is that planning related?
One of them, yeah.
Because that's not the, the governor of the central bank coming out today and saying, listen, lads, you know, you need to get your act together on this. It's holding everything up, you know.
Well, there's a couple of things with conveyancing that you'd have to say, you know, like, which they've actually highlighted. One of the things that I thought was interesting enough is that when they did I have to put my hand up and say I haven't read the report in detail. I was only looking at the short version of it. From the LSRA, they kind of gave a summary of it.
Yes.
But one of the things, and this is just going from memory, was that they said the lack of digitization of the system. Now, I love that one because you've heard me say before that I think that we're overly taken with the idea of digitizing everything, if you know what I mean. But certainly in the area of conveyancing, we have a digital system insofar as the land registry, which is the authority now, they're called Tailte now, but anyway, the land registry as I know it, which is the authority that registers ownership of registered land in Ireland. The land registry are fairly digitised, except for the mapping side of it. And that's been the one area that has been, in my view, a kind of a problem with digitising or what they call e-conveyancing, introducing this new concept of e-conveyancing. So they need to sort that one out. And that's a governmental type of issue. Yeah. But they also need to sort out something as basic as getting the various stakeholders working together. So, for example, the one big, really, really irritating thing when a client comes into you, not that it's irritating that a client should come into you, but what's really irritating is the client comes in to sell the house and you say, where are the title documents? They're with the bank. And then 6 weeks later, you're still sitting there waiting for these documents to come from the bank. And it defies.
And why would there be a hold up on that?
Well, it's resources. You know, they have to go and get somebody down to the vaults to pull out the physical documents. And with our modern, dare I slag now, with the modern digitized age, people don't seem to be able to do what were the old ones, like walk down, go down to the storage, pull it out, you know, list them all, put them on a schedule, put them into an envelope and send them to the solicitor or whatever. That seems to be a problem. But even getting them, even if you could get them to have some access to a scanned copy of those documents, but just sometimes you feel like knocking your head against the wall because this conversation has been had for quite a number of years. And there's a couple, those key elements in it. Certainly. And the other thing that I thought was interesting as well, and again, I'm not going to give you the percentage, but I was surprised at the percentage of conveyancing practitioners who still deal in paper. In other words, that it's not been dealt with by email or whatever. Because one of the observations, I think, that the consumers were saying, we'd like to have more of it online, if you know what I mean. Now, dare I say it, in our practice, you know, it's more than 15 years now since we digitized, but anyway, that we went and scanned everything and put it up on scanned copies of everything, you know. And it makes things so much easier. You know, it makes it the transaction so much more easy to deal with.
And efficient, I guess.
And efficient, well. And efficient.
What else is there by way of new stuff, John?
The other one that's kind of close to my heart at the moment, I'm always known to be very interested in new areas, if you know what I mean, but to such an extent that my Chris Kindle this year was a mug which had Ask ChatGPT on it, because this is
the latest thing.
This is my latest thing. I mean, it used to be that I wanted to go paperless, which we did. Then I wanted to have no dictation, you know, the old traditional, take up the phone and talk to it and then give it to a secretary or whatever. And I embraced the whole area of voice recognition and that, which was fairly good at the time. I remember at the time you used to only get it about 80%, so you had to spend 80% of your time correcting 20% of your mistakes. Yeah. But that now has moved on significantly. I mean, how we have moved is just incredible. But my most recent one now, I suppose I'll have to change my website profile and say my recent holy grail is AI.
Yes. You better explain which AI it is, just for fear of total confusion.
Artificial intelligence. But the interesting thing about, I mean, I've had many a conversation about this in the last couple of months, but I mean, the interesting thing is there are huge dangers in it, as I said to you. But interestingly enough, the EU has been talking about it for the last 2 years, and they've come up with an EU directive, basically, where they're saying that, and I thought it was interesting how they defined what artificial intelligence was. It's the goal of the act, this is the act that they're bringing in to deal with this, is to promote the uptake of human-centric and trustworthy AI while ensuring that people's health, safety and fundamental rights are protected. I mean, think about that now for a second.
I'm trying, John. I don't have enough coffee in me for that one.
But human-centric and trustworthy AI. Now, human-centric and trustworthy AI, I was listening to a podcast coming down the car from Dublin and the other a couple of weeks back, and I was listening to an interview by whoever with... Mm. This young man, I would call him a young man, he's in his mid-20s, who was a PhD student who was from Germany, I think, who went to America and met your man Sam Altman, who was Mr. AI, as in Mr. ChatGPT. And he has been working for the last 2 years on trying to find a way of validating human interaction on the internet. So in other words, how do I know it's you, Fran? How do you know it's me? And how do you validate it? Which I thought was fascinating, because here's the guy who's absolutely out there and ahead of, well, was out there ahead of most people in the whole area of AI, artificial intelligence. And at the same time, he's running a parallel enterprise which is going to validate the use of AI. And I think,
very interesting, isn't it? Jen?
Yeah, but and the whole idea is how, because one of the what they have to tackle is, how are you going to regulate AI? How are you going to regulate it? So they regulated it in the very conventional legal way. They classified. So they basically have four classifications, and it's based, surprisingly or not surprisingly, on risk. So there is a risk category which is called prohibited, surprisingly, at the top of the scale. So there are certain areas where they're going to prohibit the use of AI. And
like where academia, I suppose, is
like
it?
Facial images.
Oh, right, okay.
Emotional recognition, using it.
Emotional recognition.
Exactly. To use what they're saying is that a risk detrimental impact by some use cases, so they're talking about prohibited practices, and they talk about using biometric categorization, okay, so using technology, to infer sensitive characteristics using social behaviour or characteristics to create a social score that can result in unfavourable outcomes for a person or group. Untargeted scraping of facial images from the internet or CCTV footage to create and expand facial recognition databases, and the use of emotion recognition in the workplace or education institutions.
Right, and where is this coming from now?
This is coming from the EU.
From the EU.
So the EU are now...
So we'll be obliged to embrace
it's going to filter down. As you know, EU law can have direct effect in member states if it's issued as a directive. If it's not issued as a directive, it's brought into Ireland and or any other EU country by legislation or sometimes simply by statutory instrument. They'll import in the directive into Ireland. So this is, and I mean, funny, I saw a poster as I was driving along. I said I was in Dublin over the weekend, so I'm not admitting to anything, but... and I wasn't watching the Leinster match, but
that's even more intriguing.
Sitting in the middle of Leinster, people are shouting for La Rochelle. No, but I was driving down. But one of the things I also saw was Andrews. I think one of the Andrews, I can't remember, is it Neil Andrews, is in the EU. And one of the things that he said on the post, or one of his kind of catchphrases, was Europe is important. Mm. And this is where it becomes hugely important.
Of course it is, yes.
Because if we don't take an interest in how they're going to introduce this kind of control. Yeah. And
well, Sean Kelly recently said this is where the power is.
Oh, yeah.
Leanne, just who's producing, was on to me, and she says, in my college, lecturers can now scan essays to make sure that AI is not used, as so many people are using it for assignments, which is now deemed plagiarism and can cause you to lose your degree. And it is so unregulated from a legal point of view, says Leanne. So,
yeah, correct. And the interesting thing about that is that this is where the real, real fascination is. I had a conversation with my son over the weekend, and he said to me, he's a lecturer in Trinity, and he wanted access. He's not listening, so I'm okay. He was asking me about AI, and he said that he had a data set and he wanted to analyse it, and would AI be any good? I said, well, it would be if you know how to use it properly.
Yes.
And he started slagging me. He said, what do you mean, use it properly? I said, yeah. I said, it's like everything else. If you think it is not an intelligent being, all it does is assesses words and predicts outcome based on those words. So the reality of it is, if you feed it in a whole load of rubbish, it will come out with a whole load of rubbish. But the fact that you feed it in what you think is not rubbish does not necessarily mean it won't generate rubbish. It may generate something that looks really, really persuasive and sounds really, really mm-hmm. good. But like everything else, sounding good. But my ultimate, I'll get back to my son now in a second, but my ultimate fear with this is that it's like what I often used to say to people, you know. I always remember standing in the back of a court watching a colleague of mine addressing the court, and I remember there was somebody beside me and they said, gee, that fella's, if I needed somebody, I'd use him. And I looked at him, I looked at the presentation that was done. He didn't play the judge properly. He didn't know the law properly, but he sounded really, really good. Now, the reality of it is, perception is a very dangerous thing, but now multiply that by AI, and where will that leave you? Where will you go with that, if you know what I mean? But anyway, back to my son for a second.
It's very interesting.
He fed in the information, asked it to analyse it, and came out with rubbish. And he says, it was useless. I said, I must have a look and see how you prompted it, because I have found certainly with it, it's hugely helpful if you know what you're at. If you have a reasonable amount of knowledge on it, it's very helpful at collating the information for you, spewing it out. But I can very well imagine that I think that any college lecturer who reads an AI-generated document should be able to identify whether it's, now, unless you're...
Without help of any technology, should know.
Yeah, without. Because, at the end of the day, I suppose the argument is that if somebody's good enough to be able to use AI to generate an end document, what are you testing here exactly? Is it the ability to... You know, and this is a debate that you can have.
Didn't we have it years ago about calculators?
Correct.
In mathematics.
Correct. And but don't we always have it about And I always remember being in an exam as a more more mature student, and I remember calling a guy, and there was a question on the paper that said, please define and explain section 11 in the context of blah-de-blah. So I shouted to your man, I asked your man to come down, I said, can you give me section 11 there, please, because I don't know it off the top of my head. Oh, I can't give you section 11. I said, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to test whether I know every section of the Act, or are you trying to test, do I understand the, section 11?
Your intelligence, yeah.
And your man was scoffed. I nearly got thrown out of the exam.
I can well imagine. Have you fears for AI, though, John?
Huge fears.
Oh, yeah. You do?
Oh, absolutely.
Right, okay.
I think
you... Because I've only used it in a very simple way. Yeah. What I find it great for is sometimes I'm writing an intro to a guest.
Yes.
And I go all around the world to intro, and I say, ah, oh, for God's... Put it into AI and really it can be sparkling.
But it's the same as Google. I mean, if you put something into Google, it'll throw something back to you. This is oversimplifying it. But what AI is doing is it's collating all that information across the internet. Instead of you, depending on you putting in the question into Google and coming back with a kind of a fairly limited answer, what this does is it just searches through the document, throws all what it considers as the relevant material into one. Now, I'll give you an example. I had, you got me on something here now, but I was looking at, in our office, we have a practice management program. Application, call it what you like, and it has built into it a certain amount of kind of logic or coding. Coding is too fancy a word for it, but it has a logic, like Excel has a logic into it, if then else, blah blah, all this kind of coding logic that you might use. And so I said to myself, I woke up and I said to myself, I wonder if I put in the manual into it on this coding side of the, will it tell me how to do something? I'm just curious, how much will it do? So I put in the thing and I asked it. I said, okay. I said, right, I want to do such and such a thing, whatever that was. So I put in the question and I said, I want you to do, can you please, as per... So I said, I'm going to input a document. And it said, okay. It very politely said, of course, I'll help you. So I inputted the document. I said, based on the document I've inputted, I have a series of questions. So it goes, okay, ask your questions. So I asked the first question. I said, how do you do this? Boom, boom, boom. How do you do this? How do you do this? So I didn't do my golden rule as RFM, read the manual.
Yes.
Leave it the middle of it. So I didn't read the manual before I looked at the answer. But I looked at the answer, and then what I did was I opened on the other thing. I opened the application and remotely in the office, and I started to do what AI told me, ChatGPT did me. And I said, no, this isn't right. This isn't right. So then I went back and I read the manual, and I found that it had been literal. It had actually literally started from point A, whereas in fact it should have started from point,
For the specific answer you were looking
for. In other words, it was right in that it spewed out the manual to me, but it was wrong in understanding.
Yeah.
Which is fair enough.
So I got very excited there for a moment because I've been into programming keyboards for years and years and reading the manuals is just such a nightmare. And there's often just a very simple thing I want to get from. But obviously, no, not yet.
Yeah, no. Yes and no. Once I then knew how to frame the question better, it then came back with the answer.
Right, okay.
So what I'm saying to you is you can't get away with total and utter hoping that it'll answer the question for you if you don't know what the answer is or have no clue as to what the... That's, how did I get on to
as
that?
As usual with you and me, we didn't get through half of what we were supposed to talk about. Okay. And people have questions into us. Thank you very much indeed for that. We will put them all together and give them to John and maybe he'll have a look at them next time around. But thank you for that. Thanks very much indeed, John. Always a pleasure. John Lynch from Lynch Solicitors, the AI expert in Clonmel. We'll take a break back in a moment.
Join the conversation in Tipperary. Contact us through Facebook, Twitter, or email tiptoday@tipfm.com. Tip Today with Fran Curry.
With Slattery's Garage, puck on. You can't beat experience. With over 50 years maintaining Peugeot cars and vans, we like to call ourselves the experts. Call Slattery's Garage for a free vehicle health check today. 067 24111 or slatterysgarage.ie.